there is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live at the Elder Dragon Builder Podcast. This is your host Igor, and as always me, co-host Niksha. Say hi, Niksha.
Hi there.
So we have a bunch of things to do this week, don't we?
Yeah, and we didn't have to work that hard to get to them. We planned a lot.
We had to play Arena. That was sure enough.
Yeah.
So Niksha, how has your week been?
It was okay. Did some magic, but not the commander kind. But ooh. I did finally play some more serious modern with my new deck called Eldrazi Tron.
It sounds really innovative.
Definitely. I even borrowed 4 Chalice of the Void for it.
Oh my god.
And I ended up siding them out every game I played.
Wow.
But more about that later. So, yeah, did some moderning. How was your week?
I've been working only second shift this week. Life sucks. I want to kill myself.
Oh.
Basically, that's just it. Because I came tonight back home at 12:30, and I was awake at 5 a.m. again. Hooray!
Well, at least it's not hot anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's at least a thing. I managed to sleep well. Mm-hmm. The temperature finally dropped, and life is less miserable. So, any commanders of the week?
Well, for me, not really, because I played Modern, so I'm actually gonna go with Karn the Great Creator.
The greatest of creators?
Oh, definitely.
Oh my god. What did he do?
Well, I had a couple of really interesting games. So, I played against humans. I played against the Soul Herder deck.
Mm-hmm.
I played against another Eldrazi Tron, and I played against Jund.
Has Soul Herder deck stopped being an actual, just a comedy goof and an actual deck?
Yeah, they're not actually that much of a meme.
Huh.
I still think they are, because just because somebody went, had really good results with them, doesn't really make the deck that good.
But it's often that, you know, a good player does well with a deck because they're a good player, not because the deck is good itself.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know what? Dubious Challenge was a deck that did well once.
That's not a good deck.
But the Soul Herder actually has some decent results, like more consistent. And it's just in its infant stages, so I believe the deck will get better. There is a lot of modifications I would make. I would make the deck myself, but I don't have the mana base for it.
Huh. Blinking is usually a better strategy than Dubious Challenge.
I mean, you do blink in Dubious
Challenge. No, I mean, but it's better build around just blinking stuff than Dubious Challenging stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I played with that deck against Jund, and Jund is like a super favorable matchup.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to play so much around Jund. I mean, I don't believe it that Jund is a good matchup, because Jund has too much interaction, and you have to play way too much around their cards, and they're putting on pressure, well, you're not. Like, why? You have a Ice Fanged Kotal, who's attacking for 1,
ooh,
and they have a land that's a trampler. You know, you can't actually interact with other than with Path to Exile.
Huh.
So yeah, I don't believe the deck. I do like the deck because it's doing stuff I like. It's playing Soul Herd, but I really think it's gonna be on the lower side of tier 2, but that's good enough.
Yeah, if you're not expecting to win any PTQs or anything with it.
I mean, the deck is fun. You just have value. What's better than just having value?
Winning?
Sure, but actually no, because getting value is more valuable.
Surprisingly, not really. Especially if you're playing actual PTQs. Rewards.
I have to say that my games against Jund and Tron and the Bent were actually really fun.
Mm-hmm.
We drew in the finals against Eldrazi Tron. But so we just fought for who's picking first.
And who picked first?
Well, Eldrazi Tron, but not mine.
That was what I was asking.
So what I I have no experience in the matchup, so I underestimated how valuable Karn is.
Oh yes.
I mean, Karn is super valuable, but in that matchup, he's like essential, and you have to protect Karn at every cost. And I didn't do that, so I lost.
Well, now you learned. This is what your first time actually piloting the deck properly, or?
Oh, this was actually my first time piloting the deck at all.
I think you did pretty good for piloting it for the first time ever.
I mean, after Breakers, I was first, because we drew.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, it's still Tron. You just do Tron things. Only difference is you don't go turn three, Warp Coil Engine. You go turn three, Karn the Great Creator, and then find your Warp Coil Engine.
From what I've figured about Eldrazi Tron, you basically, a bunch of the time you didn't even assemble Tron. You don't need to.
It's just like in Mono Blue Tron. Your assembling Tron is not your primary objective. It's getting Karn out. And luckily for me, I play only three Karns in my deck.
Why only three?
Because I was too lazy to put one more in.
Ah, that's a good strategy.
And who knew? The Mystical Pizza Oven is a really good card.
Almost like it's restrictive, section word.
I mean, also when my opponent doesn't kill it.
Yeah.
Immediately, and I'm like three turns stuck on the land on top, and I can't activate it because they have a oop. And at one point I was just like, okay, land. Oh, that's not the land. Okay, I just played five cards from the... Okay.
As you do.
Seems fair.
It's a fair card. I'm liking that pushing the whole experimental frenzy type of cards lately.
Mm-hmm. So with the banned Soul Herder, it was actually a fun game because it wasn't really straightforward. He had some answers. I had, you know, I had Tron things. And against the other Tron, you know, when you have two Karns in play, and then you're just thinking, okay, what do I fetch? I can't fetch Pithing Needle to name Karn because then I lose.
Yeah, that's not us.
You can't go for Ballista because you have Ballista. You can't go for Endbringer because you have Endbringer. So it's like, ugh, what to do? And, you know, he managed to get me. He gotten me because I let my Karn die so that my Thought-Knot Seer survives because I was afraid of him getting a fifth land, which would be bad for me. But turns out that losing a Karn and him having a Karn was even worse for me. So yeah, I learned a lot.
It was a learning experience, and that's nice.
So how about your command?
I did some slight Alesha tweaks. I removed the Dark Ritual, and I can't remember what was the second thing, but I put a Tangle Wire in and a Goblin Welder. Those two seem to be working fine together, or independently, because I have like 15 plus artifacts in the deck.
Mm-hmm.
So I can actually exchange them for valuable things. And I'm waiting to go to the commander thing we're going after the podcast to pick up the rest of the morph tokens.
Oh, nice. You're going to get 99 of them?
Yes, the monstrosity is going to be finished. It's already it's almost like 1.5 double sleeve deck.
So it's almost like my standard Battle of Wits.
Yes. I just have one problem and I still haven't solved it. How do I transport it in what? I didn't think that far.
Well, you'll need to get one of those Fatpak boxes.
So luckily, I have those.
So I guess they're gonna be big enough?
Yeah, but it's something just...
I know. It's like, here's my deck. That was one of the punchlines when I was standard with the Battle of... Or that 125 card deck.
Omniscience, what was it?
It was the Omniscience one, yeah.
Oh, yes.
So I was like, I would just take my Fatpak box, I take out half of my deck, I shuffle it, I put it aside, and they're like going to cut it, and I'm like, oh no.
That's
just half of it.
We're not done yet.
Take the other half and then just jam it in. And they're just, is that legal?
I'll make it legal. I am the Senate.
I mean, but I could still shuffle just my assistant, so it was legal.
Oh, I won't be able to do that.
Oh, yeah, but we're not playing competitive, so...
Yeah, I don't think nobody's gonna take me seriously this one. But yeah, I did some slight tweaks to that. I'm looking forward to actually be playing it after like a week or so. Mm. And that's about it. We can go to the main topic.
So what is the main topic?
We have a bunch of Throne of the Eldraine spoilers. We have the Brawl pre-con decks spoiled, and we got to play with them. So we have experiences with that. So let's tackle the spoilers first, because there's a good bunch of them. Nick, just start with the first one.
So I'm starting with how they're on Mythic spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
When you just go to Throne of Eldraine, where they're nicely segmented into set cards and brawl cards. So, you know, I'll just go with that. So we got, Circle of Loyalty.
Oh, yep.
Is a 4 and a double white legendary artifact, Mythic Rare. This spell costs one less to cast for each knight you control. Creatures you control get +1/+1. Whenever you cast a legendary spell, create a 2/2 white knight, creature token with vigilance. And for 3 white tap, create a 2/2 white knight, creature token with vigilance. So you get a bunch of knights.
Yeah, do you play this in a legendary deck or a knight deck?
Well, both? In a legendary deck, and then you use Arcane Adaptation to make everything...
Wow. I mean, this can play good in some more casual Kettis or something like that.
I guess. I mean, it's a nice token producer. It's a token producer with however you look at it.
It's a token producer and an anthem. Even if you're playing just in a knight deck and don't have that many legendary, because each time you cast a commander, you're going to get a knight.
Also, you need some knights to make it worth playing.
Yep, so it's not 6 mana.
Yeah, 6 mana is... Yeah, it's a really cool card, but... Yeah, I'd rather pay 3 mana than 6.
Yeah, since this is a... You know, since this is a white card, a mirror entity is still a knight. And it can make all of your things into knights.
Nice.
For people to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the art is bitching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what's happening in the art, but you know.
It's there and it's cool.
Next card is the first card that actually got spoiled a couple days ago. And we were wondering about the first line of text, what the hell is happening?
Mm-hmm.
So, Oko, Thief of the Crowns. One and a Simic for loyalty, legendary planeswalker Oko, +2, create a foot token. And we were like, what the hell is it? We'll get to that later. +1, target artifact or creature loses all abilities and becomes a green elk creature with base power and toughness 3/3. -5, exchange control, target artifact or creature you control and target opponent creature an opponent controls with power 3 or less. So, Niksha, what is a food to start with?
Well, food is an artifact token that you can pay 2 mana and sacrifice it to gain 3 life.
It's a
2
worse...
mana tap and sacrifice.
It's a worse treasure slash clue.
So, yeah, it's one of those kind of cards.
I like that type of mechanic because you can play a lot with it in the set. 3 life, it's kinda... But, you know, like I said, there's a bunch of things that play with. Even though you shouldn't play with your food.
Wow. also, gaining 3 life is roughly worth 1 mana.
Yep.
But still you have to pay 2 mana, which is kind of like...
You have to pay 2 mana, but it's always standing on the battlefield. It's not, you know, you don't have to expend a card for it.
I mean, so except for the...
I mean, the balance, the whole balancing act.
Yeah.
Mono Red is not gonna like this.
Mm-hmm.
Planeswalker on itself, how do you feel about him?
Well, his +2 is kind of weak, but hey, for 3 mana, 6 loyalty, that's a pretty hefty sum.
Also, +1 kind of screws up either a combo piece or just a commander.
Yeah, it doesn't destroy.
Nope.
It just turns them into an elk.
So yeah, you had a prosh, you no longer have a prosh. You have an elk. Have fun.
Yeah, his +1 is really good. So, at worst, he's a 3 mana removal.
Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at him.
So he's got that going. I mean, he can protect himself, but whatever. Not all planeswalkers have to protect themselves.
Yeah, especially 3 mana one.
He's okay for commander.
Yeah, he's okay. This is one planeswalker, most likely if you put him on the battlefield, nobody's gonna freak that much about it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like, oh, okay, sure, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about the next card.
So, Rankle, Master of Pranks, is a 2 and double black legendary creature fairy rogue with flying haste, 3/3. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, choose any number. Each player discards a card, or each player loses one life and draws a card, or each player sacrifices.
When I first saw the card, I missed choose any number. I thought it was, you know, choose one, because it made sense. Now that I see it's choose any number, I'm like, huh.
Actually, pretty.
Pretty nice. Yeah. Even if you just pick the first and last mode each time, it's...
Yeah, I mean, when you have no cards in your hand, his first mode is really good. You need some token producers so you don't, so he doesn't have to sacrifice himself.
Luckily, he's a fairy, so.
But really good for multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time you hit, everyone sacrifices a creature. That's
strong.
Pretty strong. Also, discarding four cards, also not so bad.
And if you want to play with your graveyard, then newsflash, black kind of likes to play graveyard. Are you going to be playing this guy in your stick?
Yeah, and the funny part is, I'm actually getting to a point where I can completely separate, Sig and...
Yuriko.
Yuriko.
You just basically need one set where there's a bunch of ninjas, like Modern Horizons.
Actually, no.
Well, no, I mean,
I just need a couple of more rogues, and that's all.
This is a really good rogue, though.
It is a really good rogue. Also... You know what goes in, you know what's a card that's good in Sig?
What?
That's also really good with Rankle? Oh darn, I forgot it. Oh no.
Wow. Premium podcasting,
called.
You guys.
It's,
premium podcasting.
It's, because I just thought of it now. I was like, hey, if you play, Narset, then she doesn't do actually. But if you play the 3-1 guy that, you know, Flash, that
Notion Thief.
But with Notion Thief, Rankle attacks, and you draw four cards.
And everybody loses one life, except
yeah,
you.
But you drew four cards.
Yeah, that's fine. That's pretty good.
So and it has three power. Very important, because you draw a card with Sigan.
Mm-hmm. And even if you discard a card with him, you still draw a card because it's Sig.
Also, he's a... Also, isn't he, like, actually kind of... decent for Alesha?
Mm-hmm. I'm actually thinking about it. First of all, it flies, and that's actually premium in Alesha. Because I have a bunch of ground guys, I don't have that many flyers. And this guy can trigger things like Timna, so even if I discard a card, it's a draw card, and that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any of you drawing a card, though.
Yeah, that's...
The 3-3 is a bit of a problem, but you know.
Yeah, not perfect stats.
Yeah, but not everything can be.
So yeah, excited to actually play with Rankle.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the alternate frame first, the extended art, which looks really nice.
Yeah, you gotta get that one.
Yeah. But yeah, that was Rankle. So, next up.
Do we talk about the next Planeswalker? Because I'm not sure if that's official.
It's official.
Oh, it is? Okay, cool.
It's a Mythic spoiler, and why were they not official?
It's
not an... Oh, you mean like it's not an official spoiler?
No, this hasn't been confirmed, I think. Or has it?
I mean, it looks pretty legit.
In that case, the Royal Science for one and blue and red. Legendary Planeswalker, Will Rowan, 5 loyalty. So you have both twins from Battle Bond. Plus 1. Draw a card and discard a card. Plus 1. Target creature gets +2/+0 and gains first strike and trample till the other turn. -8, draw 4 cards. When you do, the Royal Science deal damage to any target equal to the number of cards in your hand.
Hey, that's pretty good. Again, 3 mana, 6 loyalty.
Yep.
Huh. Who would think that was good?
If you plus it 2 times, it's almost like you have Fatal Swoop.
If you plus it 2 times, it's almost like you're playing Deck Faden.
Deck Faden is a bit better and not better than this 3 mana Planeswalker, depending how you look at it.
Well, I'm looking at it. This card isn't really for command.
Better than Deck Faden.
I'm sorry, what?
The best part about Deck Faden is the whole, you know, I'll take the artifact.
Well, yeah, but also looting for +1.
Oh yeah, I know.
I mean, Deck Faden is a really good card.
Oh, I know, but in Commander setting, what is the longest time Planeswalker is going to survive? Most of the time.
Actually, if they come in early enough, they are actually going to survive. Don't have to +1, go -2 immediately with Deck Faden, and he's going to survive.
That is my point. Most of the time you won't have artifacts that you want to nab. That's desperate. And that's the best part.
What do you mean? You're gonna nab their crypt
And die to it.
Sure.
Actually, no. Mate is the one who dies to that. I'm safe. Whew.
So, yeah, but where I'm seeing the Royal Science is actually kind of modern playable. Because the draw card and discard the card and his other plus one, I mean, their other plus one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no expert, but these abilities seem kind of decent for Grixis Death Shadow.
Oh, that is.
Because they're already using the Mardu Battle Rage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Teemer Battle Rage. Teemer Battle Rage is like a finisher. You just win
yep.
if you hit for a lot. But, you know, plus one to give your Death Shadow plus two, plus oh, and trample. The trample is the big part because you want mm-hmm. that damage mm-hmm. to go through.
Also, with the looting, you can actually put your shadows in the graveyard and then later unearth them.
Or put your unneeded cards at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, but both works. That's
yeah.
the point.
So, both of their plus one actually really work in that deck. And it's just 3 mana. And it's 6 loyalty. Who's gonna kill?
3 mana is basically almost the top of the curve for that shadow, right?
Yes. I mean, there's that Gurmagangler, that's 7 mana, but most of the time he's mana.
That's 1 mana. I don't know what you're talking about. It's a 1 mana creature that can be fatal pushed.
Yes.
So, you know, it has immunity to fatal push, that's good.
And this is cool, it's 2 planeswalkers in 1 card. Also, this gave
use the words.
People were like, Maro, but you said that this guy wouldn't be in the set because there are already 3 planeswalkers. And he said, like, I didn't say that. I said that there is going to be Will, Rowan, and another guy.
And there is another guy, isn't there?
And there is another guy.
The guy who is as beefy as D2 together and beefier. So, Niksha, who's the mysterious planeswalker?
It's Garrick, Cursed Huntsman.
It's a homeboy, he's back. What does he do?
So, four, a green, green and a black?
Yes.
Legendary Planeswalker Garrick, 5 loyalty. For 0, you create 2/2 black and green wolf creature tokens with, when this creature dies, put a loyalty counter on each Garrick you control.
Sheesh.
Garrick Tribal.
First of all, that's the one of the silliest line I read in Magic. On each Garrick you control, I'm just like...
Okay. -3, destroy target creature, draw a card. -6, you get an emblem with creatures you control, get +3/+3 and have trample. So, permanent overrun.
So you play him with doubling season on, you ultimate him, and he's still really, really in really fine shape.
He is.
Holy crap.
Also, with, you know, doublings, for his 0, you get 4 wolves that put a total of 8 loyalty counters.
Holy crap. I hear Doubling Season is a good card.
Yeah, and then you can just destroy creatures all day, every day.
How do you feel about this Garrick?
Well, for his 0 ability is really good at protecting.
Mm-hmm.
His -3 is really good, but can't be used twice in succession, so,
yeah.
But, you know.
That's fine.
His -6 is really good. I mean, if you're playing a creature-based deck, then it's really, really good.
Newsflash, you usually play Garrick's in creature-centric decks.
And, you know, he can kind of... Technically, if it's the second Garrick you play, he can ultimate the turn he enters, because let's say you have a Garrick,
mm-hmm.
you create 2 wolves, you flicker Garrick, you sacrifice a wolf, and he ultimate.
More realistic scenario is actually you zero him, and he stays protected until your next turn, and immediately... When you sacrifice the tokens, he ultimate. And it's usually really good for you when you have +3/+3 on each of your creatures. Once your mana dork is a 4/4, things get scary.
Once your mana dorks no longer die to Elishnorn.
When your Birds of Paradise is a 3/4, I mean, that's also pretty good. Alesha looks at all those dorks and she's like, huh, you know, I don't want to swing that way.
But. Yeah, for Commander, I'm guessing he's pretty good. I mean, he is good, because you're playing other Garricks, so his 0 is really... His 0 gets exponentially better the more Garricks you have.
People in Bloodput's Discord are actually talking about putting him on the high-end slot.
Well, yeah, because he's a mid-range champion.
Yep.
because he comes in, he does everything midrange wants. He makes dudes, and he kills dudes, and he draws cards.
And he becomes win.
Yes.
I actually love this Garruk, and I'm happy to have him. Took him a while, but he's back.
Yeah.
All hail the Garruk.
So, yeah. That's been Garruk. Next up?
What's important? I think that the aura is important.
Well, it's not really.
Midnight Clock is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
For two and a blue. It's an artifact. It taps for blue. I actually missed that part. So that's nice. It's a rock.
It's a rock.
Two and a blue. Put an hour counter on Midnight Clock. At the beginning of each upkeep, put an hour counter on Midnight Clock. When the 12th hour counter is put on Midnight Clock, shuffle your hand and grab it into your library, then draw 7 cards. Exile Midnight Clock.
That's a lot of Midnight Clocks.
It's a build your own time twister.
Mm-hmm.
It's cute, it's a bit slowish, but it's fun.
Well, in multiplayer Commander, this is probably gonna drop, like, let's say turn 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a Birds of Paradise or something. And it gives mana, so it's a rock, and that's pretty cool. I mean, it's a 3 mana rock. Which are mm-hmm. generally not that good, but this one's actually kind of okay.
It's a mana rock for a while.
So that's what? It has to survive 3 of your turns.
Mm-hmm.
On the 3rd turn, after you play it, you get a time twist.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not putting any hour counters on it by yourself.
Yeah. You want actually not to be putting hour counters by yourself, because you want to be playing all the cards in your hand. So you actually just draw a fresh hand and you're fine.
I don't know. I think it's kind of really cool for a mana.
Oh, definitely is. I'm not disparaging it. It's not for faster metas, but for like 85% and below,
mm-hmm.
in a couple turns you'll get a time twister and you're cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like once it strikes midnight.
And if you want to get even more cool points, you play this and you copy artifact. Or, you know, whatever the version you're playing at.
Yeah, because why not?
What is that thing? What is that enchantment? That enchantment from Kaladesh. Mechanist production.
Mm-hmm. So you have a bunch of clocks that just keep on striking midnight every turn.
Yes, every hour is midnight hour.
Every turn is.
It's a cool.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that it's not. Next card is much more interesting, though. Nixia, read it.
What, Piper?
Yes, Piper is cool.
Piper of the Swarm is 1 and a black for a human warlock creature. 1/3. Rats you control have menace. For 1 and a black, tap. Create a 1/1 black rat creature token. For 2 and black, tap. Sacrifice 3 rats, gain control of target creature.
It's the Pied Piper, Nixia.
Oh, yeah. From that point, it is cool.
This isn't, you know, the best creature ever or anything, but it's cool.
It's cool for a red tribal.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of things that make rats.
Yeah, there's also a bunch of rats that make
them. That are cool. Yeah, that are actually good. A bunch of ninjas are rats.
And sacking 3 rats to mind control something, pretty good.
And if you have the adaptation out, yeah, you sack
anything. Then you start sacking the creatures you stole to steal even more.
Yep. Next card, I think we need to do the Shield Breaker just to explain the mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Emperor's Shieldbreaker for 1 and red, it's a 2/1, and that's everything on his creature. But what do you mean creature side? It's also a battle display. Sorcery Adventure. Destroy target artifact, then exile this card. You may cast the creature later from the exile. So, Nixia, what does this mean?
So, this means that... remember when we thought it's like, okay, so you can play it, their creature, and you can pay one time, like, let's say... monstrous mm-hmm. mechanic to, you know, do something. But turns out it's not like that. So on the left is a sorcery with the type adventure. So you can play the card as either part, but if you play it as the adventure part first, so in this case you play battle display for 1 red, destroy target artifact, then you exile the card. And later on you can play the creature part from exile.
That's actually quite cool. You make play the creature from exile anytime, or even if it wasn't adventured, or just when you adventure it?
Just when you adventure.
Aww. I was hoping for some cool play.
You mean like food chain play?
No, more of a... You have a rest in peace out. You block with the guy, you play the guy again.
They they go on a... You have to send them on an adventure so they can return from that adventure?
I mean, dying and then coming back from that is kind of an adventure.
We'll have to ask Elspeth that.
We have spoilers about that one, don't we?
We do.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. This is a cool card. Some people in the Vintage community are like, yeah, this is a good thing.
I mean, one mana destroy a target artifact, and it has an upside.
Sometimes it's going to be like 2 or 3 mana destroy an artifact, because it's still sorcery when you cast it. And there are spheres and tyranny spheres and things running around.
Yeah, yeah.
What's an actual card that's good? Good-ish?
You mean the next one?
Yep.
So we got a Gilded Goose for 1 green, a 0/2 bird with flying. When Gilded Goose enters the battlefield, create a food token. For 1 and a green, you tap it and create a food token. Tap, sacrifice a food, add 1 mana of any color. So, I was being very clever and called this card Birds of Paradise, which is a pun, because in Croatian, paradise is for tomato. So, and Birds of Paradise kind of sound like paradise, and these are like literal Birds of Paradise, because they bring you food and then they eat it.
See, this is the type of things you never get on any other podcast.
Yeah.
Suck on it, every other podcast that's bigger than us, which is most of them.
So yeah, I'll have to be altering my food tokens or making my own food tokens that have tomatoes on them.
I did tell you, just buy all the mashed tomato products from the store and just put lids or anything as tokens.
Yeah.
Or buy a bag of literal tomatoes and put them on the table.
I can also use dried tomatoes because they don't stain and they actually last.
It's not going to destroy everybody's cards. You might have a point in there.
So yeah, I'm going to be definitely getting something for these food tokens, because Gilded Goose is totally a standard playable card.
Mm-hmm.
Not really anywhere else, but standard playable, because mana dork.
This is the type of card we were saying when we were talking about Oko, that lots of things interact with food.
Mm-hmm.
This might be the best interaction of food. This might be the best interaction with it. What's the next interesting card? We need to talk about Slaying Fire, sadly.
Oh, I mean that's an actual good card, by the way.
Yeah, but not commander-wise. Slaying Fire for 2 and red, it's an instant. Slaying Fire deals 2 damage to any target. So far, it's actually just, you know, your cookie cutter 3 mana burn spell. It also has Adamant. If at least 3 red mana was spent to cast a spell, it deals 4 damage instead.
Wow.
Adamant is basically if you use at least, it's 3, right? Is it always 3 or... 3 of a mana, the spell is better.
Wow, subtle foreshadowing for, you know, a monocolored set.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I mean, 3 mana for instant speed 4 damage is historically been very playable all the time.
You think? Burning stuff, kind of good.
I mean, sure, in multiplayer commander, this is kind of like, whatever.
Unless you have Aria of Flame out. In that case, everybody dies.
But, you know, 1v1?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of the bomb.
Oh, we're still recognizing that made-up format. Nice.
I'm just saying, it's the bomb in some format.
How is it playable in Burn? Is it playable in...
Which Burn? Modern?
Modern.
Nah,
it's
mana.
A bit too... It's 3 mana. It's a bit too high.
I mean, Char isn't playable in Modern, so this is really any better.
But yeah, Adamant is...
Yeah. Moving on. We... actually, that's about it. Oh, we have a legendary creature, actually.
No. We have a Love-Struck Beast is playable in Silvala, the mono-green one. Because it's a 3 mana 5/5.
Yeah.
And it's a reference to the beauty. 2 and a green, Beast Noble. He can't attack unless you control a 1/1 creature, which is the princess. And Heart's Desire is sorcery for 1 and a green. Create a 1/1 white human creature token. Of course, that also implies that if you have a goblin out, he's okay with that as well. If you have a bird out, he'll fall in love with that one as well.
Actually, no, because birds are...
There is 1/1 birds.
Sure, okay.
My point is, you know, if you have any out-of-the-mill 1/1 creature, he's okay with that. If you have a germ token, that's a 1/1.
If you have a zombie knight, that's a 1/1.
No, but with germ is better. Look, it's herpes. Also fine. It's fine.
It's fine. Actually, another card that's kind of...
Which one?
Beanstalk Giant.
What does it do?
So it's a creature that's also an adventure. So it's a 7 mana star. It has power and toughness equal to the number of lands you control. But the adventure is Fertile Footsteps for 2 and a green. It's a sorcery adventure ramp. It just gets a basic and puts into play tapped.
Huh.
So yeah, you know, you ramp. It's a spell that ramps into itself.
Hmm.
So it's kind of okay.
You know what's a really cool card? Corridor Monitor. 1 and a blue. It's a 1/4. And when it enters the battlefield, untap target artifact or creature you control.
Gee whiz, I'm sure you can't do anything broken by untapping creatures.
Or artifact, Nixon.
Or artifacts.
We've been discussing this in our CDH group chat. It works wonderful with Kiki Jiki, of course. But it also works wonderful with Burning Pod.
Yes, yes,
it does. Because you can pod in this with a Mana Dork. Untap the Burning Pod, tap it to get something like Derevi. To untap the Burning Pod, sacrifice that to get Felidar Sovereign, to blink
the pod.
Yeah, and get Karmic Guide to blink the pod again. Karmic Guide to get the Felidar Sovereign to blink the pod. Sacrifice
the Sovereign to get Kiki Jiki.
Yeah, and then copy Karmic Guide and get the thing and kill people. So yeah, if you have a Burning Pod out and a Mana Dork, you can kill people.
You just need a Lonely Lantern walking around.
Yeah. I first discarded this card because I was at work. I read it. I was like, yeah, whatever. And then like 10 minutes later, oh.
Oh.
Oh no. Oh. Yeah. What's the legendary creature though, Nixon?
So it's Sir... Sire. Seer.
Sir. Let's go with Sir.
Let's go with Sir. Sir Conrad the Grim. 3 5/4 human knight legendary. Whenever another creature dies, or a creature card is put into a graveyard from anywhere other than the battlefield, or a creature card leaves your graveyard, Sir Conrad the Grim deals 1 damage to each opponent.
Sheesh.
That's a lot of, you know, ifs, or whenever.
One of the biggest problems about, you know, a bunch of, you know, dice effects was, but what if, you know, things leave my... What if, you know, things are just in graveyard and they don't trigger before that? If you have a fully stacked graveyard and somebody removes it, they're dead. Not just them, everybody's dead.
Except for you.
Yeah, good job, Mike. You killed us all.
Also, also for 1 and a black, you can each player puts the top card of their library. But that's...
You play traumatized with this guy. On yourself.
Yeah.
You could reasonably with a traumatized deal, like... 20-30 damage if you have a full enough stack deck.
Also, it deals damage, so infect, by the way.
Yep. Also, lifelink.
Yeah. Let's go.
This is a cool card, and also has a cool name because Conrad is a cool
name. Yep.
and
he's
it's
a
an
sir.
Uncommon. Uncommon, Nixia.
Uncommon. Yeah, they're gonna have a bunch of legendaries in this set because Dominaria is rotating out, mm-hmm. and we gotta fuel that brawl.
Yep, because it's money laundering. that was the talk about. Anything else? Multicolored. Is there anything else in the multicolored?
Keeper of Fables is almost good. Multicolored, no. Oh, we got a decent, another decent 3 mana rock.
An okay mana.
We got Heraldic Banner for 3. It's an artifact. As Heraldic Banner enters the battlefield, choose a color. Creatures you control of the chosen color get +1/+0, and it has tap, add 1 mana of the chosen color.
It's
fine. I'm gonna say this is like one of the best 3 mana rocks. Because 3 mana rocks are, you know, unless they're producing a bunch of mana, they aren't really good. This doesn't produce a bunch of mana, but like in token decks, this is really powerful. Because, you know, anthem effects.
Yay!
So yeah, that's all I'm gonna say.
That's about it, right?
We did get a cool lens for it.
I saw first Tournament Grounds. Land that taps for either colorless or red, white, or black. I was like, oh my god, yeah, spend this mana only to cast Night Oracles. Oh, why do you do to me?
Oh, it's uncommon as well. Huh,
doesn't help me. People who are building Alesha Night decks can be happy about this one.
Sure.
There's people actually in Alesha Discord that are like, oh yeah, you can do it now. I'll do it. And I was like, have fun with it, guys. I will not. Let's move on to Brawl decks, Nixon.
So, Brawl
we
decks.
We have already covered Kulen, the Teller of Tales. What's the first card you want to talk about? Going by the order, or...?
Let's go by order.
Okay, you go first.
Alela Artful Provocateur is a 1 and Esper for a 2-3, so that's 4 mana, for a 2-3 flying Death Touch lifelink. It's a fairy warlock. Other creatures you control with flying get +1/+0. Whenever you cast an artifact or enchantment spell, create a 1-1 blue fairy creature token with flying.
So, with Senseless Divining Top, something to give your artifact cheaper and a feature side effect, you can basically get infinite amount of dudes.
Yeah, it's gonna be really hard in Esper to get your future side effect or yep. your artifacts cheaper. That's gonna be hard.
Also, play a Shimmer Mirror to, you know, on somebody's end step.
Yeah, because why not?
That's a legit deck, by the way.
I know.
Just saying, this is a legit way to build a deck and you'll kill. Also, when you just cast your Mana Rocks, you gain value.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool. I played against her on Arena, she's actually quite strong.
Yeah. And this is one bit problematic part is that she might be standard viable. Like,
and
viable in standard.
Deck. And she's in a Brawl deck.
And she's actually just Brawl exclusive.
Good job, guys. I'm sure this is not gonna backfire. If they made her 5 mana, I don't think she would.
Oh no, then she would be, like, really bad.
But 4 mana is just high enough.
It's 1 mana more than Vampire Nighthawk, and Vampire Nighthawk was heavily played in standard.
Yep.
I mean, he wasn't 3 mana, but he also didn't give your flyers +1/+0, or give you additional flyers.
And yeah, this is a good card.
Mm-hmm.
Next card is Corvald, the Faker's King. I played this guy on... this is the guy I took on Arena to actually beat the challenge, to get all the cards. For 2 and a Jund, it's a 4-4 legendary creature, dragon, noble. By the way, noble and warlock are now creature types.
Mm-hmm.
Flying. Whenever he enters the battlefield or attacks, sacrifice another permanent. Whenever you sacrifice a permanent, put a +1/+1 counter on Corvald, then draw a card. It's not Prosh, but he's doing a really good impression.
Yeah, the first time I read him, I was like, okay, yeah, sure. You play him and you draw a card. 5 mana, 5-5 flying that draws a card, that's,
that's
kind of good.
That's okay if it's on a 4-4 flyer, but it's not on a 4-4 flyer, it's now on a 5-5 flyer.
Yeah, and then comes the part where he actually becomes real, actually.
One good thing that I had with him, you know the multicolored guy that when he blocks, you get the food token? Guess what? He eats food. You draw more cards that also produce you food.
Yep.
He is actually, he wants to play.
He is, he's like Value City.
Also, he's really fun with Prosh, surprisingly.
And he drops just a turn before.
Yes, that's the part. And you, those 6 tokens, if you don't have food chain around. And now he's a 10-10. Actually, 11-11, because he's like the second thing when he came to play.
I mean, you don't have the second thing, but yeah. I mean, yeah, he becomes an 11-11 that attacks, and now he's a 12-12.
Actually, you eat 5 tokens, then you eat 1 when he attacks.
Okay, sure.
Play. Or you eat the Prosh, so you can cast him again.
Yeah, definitely.
He's a cool... I need to actually get this one.
Wow.
I kind of have to.
Yeah, now you have to get the Jund.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to be that expensive.
I hope, sure, certainly hope so.
For Alila, I'm pretty sure that's going to get pricey, but this is just, you know, another Jund flying.
And
read the next one, actually.
Last one is Sir Gwyn, the last Lord of Cinder. I mean, Hero of Ashvale.
See, Ash, Cinder, it
was. Yeah. So, 3 and Mardu. For a 5-5 human knight, legendary. Vigilance Menace. Whenever an equipped creature you control attacks, you draw a card and you lose 1 life. That's good. Equipment you control have Equip Knight 0.
One fun thing to play with this is Dodge and Brawl.
Yeah.
Everything is basically an equipment now.
Yes.
One thing I mind is that Sir Gwyn is on a horse, Alesha is not. Khan of the Mardu Horde is supposed to be on a horse. God damn it, I bloody hate that fact. Anywho, let's go back to the card. It wants you to be aggressive, but it's 6 mana, so that's kind of problematic.
It wants you to be aggressive also, it kind of wants you to go a bit wider.
Yep.
Because it has a draw card effect. But you can't go wide because you're playing artifact equipment.
Mm-hmm. This can be a pretty okay Knight Tribal commander, I guess. But you can go in the way that Kalemne is played. Sure, it's a giant tribal commander. You just put equipment on it and kill people. Because this is Vigilance and Menace. It's a form of evasion. And if you just draw one card and you lose one life each combat, that's fine.
Yeah. So
it's a more casual combat.
Out of all the four decks, this one is actually the worst.
Wizards themselves have said it in the Inside the Throne Will Drain article for the Brawl decks.
Mm-hmm.
So Kulin is a spikier deck, basically. Korvold is for Johnny players, and Alela has more mix of synergy and power. Quotes. And now for Sir Gwyn. For the player who wants to play creatures and attack, this deck is easier to play than others. It's all about knights and equipment.
But I think that with the right upgrades, this one could be like easily on par with the others.
Oh yeah, you just need to pack much more removal, and that's it.
By itself, it has the most spot removal out of them.
Mm-hmm. The Brawl deck itself.
Yeah.
So which one of the commanders do you like the most?
Oh, I honestly kind of like all of them. I played with all of them. Mm-hmm. I liked all of them. Alela is really... She's really deceptively powerful.
Yep.
Kulin is like, I untapped, I win. Korvold has so much... He
value.
Has so much going for him. So much value. And Sir Gwyn is called Sir Gwyn, and he has a flaming sword, so...
Sadly, Sir Gwyn, that's the best part of the...
So it makes me want to build a Dark Souls deck, but... You know, the point is not to die, but to make other people die.
Yeah, I mean, if you die, you just look at them and start shuffling your deck again. And they're like, what? I'm the Cursed Knight, I'm the Cursed Undead, I die and I play again. And they're like, oh. Okay, let's house through it. You get to do that.
Cool.
Because if you play Dark Souls, you know one thing. You're the most overpowered person in the game because you die, you get back. You die, you get back, and you have a purpose. The bosses you kill, they do not have that. They just die. Imagine killing some gimpy guy that's naked and has a club 60 times and
yeah.
That's messed up. I guess next up is the Mace of the Valiant. I could have sworn we actually had this effect, but I don't think we had. 2 and a white, artifact equipment. Equipped creature gets +1/+1 for each charge counter on Mace of the Valiant and has Vigilance. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, put the charge counter on Mace of the Valiant. Equip 3. You play a lot of dudes, you kill people.
Too bad it's on white, so you can't play it in Animar.
Womp womp.
But yeah, it's a beat stick. Just
you,
that.
You wanted more ways for Animar to kill people, eh?
Sure, why not?
What's the next card?
They made a cycle of cards. That are good in multiplayer, but mm-hmm. not that good in 1v1. That's why they actually swap these cards out of the precon deck on Arena. So we got Silverwing Squadron, Chittering Witch, Embereth Skyblazer, and Gluttonous Troll. And so for a Squadron, it's a 6 mana star, flying Vigilance, Human Knight. Its power and toughness are each equal to the number of creatures you control, and whenever it attacks, create a number of 2/2 white knight creature tokens with vigilance equal to the number of opponents you
control. That's cool.
So it attacks and makes 3 knights. That's kind of really good.
That's okay, for 6 mana.
And he gets +3/+3.
Yeah.
So yeah, they also said it's a finisher.
Mm-hmm.
And it does feel like a finisher.
What did the other guys do?
Chittering Witch is a 3 and a black for a 2/2 human warlock. It enters the battlefield and creates a number of 1/1 black rats creature tokens equal to the number of opponents you have. You can...
Finish.
1 and a black sack a creature, target creature gets -2/-2 until end of turn.
This is really good in Alesha, in more of token version, to be honest, or aristocrats.
I mean, not even... You don't even have to play aristocrats, you just sack the Chittering Witch and get her back.
Yeah. That's my point. In aristocrats or in tokens, sheesh.
Because she can sacrifice herself.
They haven't done that in a while. Actually, they do that only when you have a mana cost. Because they learned with Twister of Seer and other things that it's kind of a dangerous thing.
Skyblazer is a 3 and a red for a 4/3 as long as it's your turn. It has flying. It's a human. And when it attacks, you may pay 2 and a red. If you do, creatures you control get +X/+0 until end of turn, where X is number of opponents. So this is like specifically for going super wide strategy, because giving +3/+0 isn't really that big of a...
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is Gluttonous Troll. It's a troll that lives under a bridge and feeds on chicken.
Troll in the dungeon!
2 green-black, 3-3 creature troll with trample, and when it enters the battlefield, create the number of food tokens equal to the number of opponents you have. Lots of, that's a lot of chicken.
He's the only multicolor out of the cycle, right?
Yes. And for one in a green, sack another non-land permanent. Gluttonous Troll gets +2/+2 until end of turn. I can see why this guy is really good with Korvald.
Yep. Korvald gets bigger, this guy gets bigger.
Everyone. I mean, not everyone.
I wish I could play him on Arena, but I couldn't. Like you said.
Yeah, because they're multiplayer-oriented cards and, you know, still no multiplayer on Arena.
Fairy Formation is fine. 4 and a blue for creature fairy flying. 3 and a blue, create a 1/1 blue fairy creature token flying, draw a card. It's a 5/4. With a bunch of mana out, you can draw so many cards.
Yeah, ignore the fact that you get blue fairy. 1/1 blue fairies.
If you have super amount of mana that you can draw a bunch of cards, I think you're winning already.
Well, Fairy Formation is really good with Kulen, because in Kulen you have that Simic guy that reduces the cost.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, paying 2 mana to make a blue fairy.
What am I doing with life?
So, for 2 mana, you make a 1/1 fairy and draw a card that's...
Mm-hmm. Oh, next card is fun.
Mm-hmm.
What does it do, Nixon?
Shimmer Dragon. For 4 and double blue, it's a creature dragon. Wow. Surprise, surprise. It's a 5/6. As long as you control 4 or more artifacts, Shimmer Dragon has hexproof. Tap 2 untapped artifacts you control, draw a card.
So, I tap my Tanglewater and my Trinity Sphere, I'll draw a card in the...
Yes. I tap my Winter Orb at the end of your turn.
I'm glad you're playing with us. Have fun. I love those effects. Also, it's a blue dragon.
Also, it has Shimmer in its name, so maybe it can be playable in Shimmer Zur.
I can't.
But anyways, I think I'll be trying it out in the Scarecrows, because, mm-hmm. you know, drawing more cards is really good.
Oh, no, for you?
This card is also... No, it's not excluded. I saw it once.
That's good. I mean, this isn't a multiplayer-focused card, so...
But yeah. Pretty cool card. I mean, drawing cards for tapping to artifacts.
The next card is a bit of a Workshop Elders. For 6 and a blue, a 4/4 human artificer. Artifact creatures you control have flying, and at the beginning of combat on your turn, you may have target non-creature artifact you control become a 0/0 artifact creature. If you do, put 4 +1/+1 counters on it. It's a neat effect, but it's 7.
Yeah, that's the... you see, it's a Brawl exclusive card, so they really couldn't push it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know why they did it and all that. The art is beautiful. It's what's next?
We have Taste of Death for 4 and double black. Each player sacrifices 3 creatures. It's a sorcery. Each player sacrifices 3 creatures. You create 3 food tokens.
Are we talking about this just because you can sacrifice humans and then eat them? That and the art.
Yeah, the art is good.
Yeah, because the card itself is like, sure.
It's Barter in Blood +1.
Yes, but you can sacrifice like up to, it could be like 12 creatures that get sacrificed and you just get 3 food, what the hell?
I mean, I played Taste of Death multiple times while playing Korvald. I mean, that's the only way you can.
Yep.
And oh my god, the things that happen when Taste of Death, it resolves.
Really?
Like, if you have Korvald and you have the
Vampire?
No.
What does it do?
The Devil, when you sack a permanent.
Oh, Mayhem Devil.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
And like, okay, so I draw 3 cards, I deal 6 damage as I choose. You just need that enchantment. Whenever a creature dies, you draw a card, and you're like, wow, I just draw all the cards, I deal all the damage, super.
Korvald is really valuing.
And Korvald gets super huge.
And then he attacks and gets even huger, and then you sacrifice another thing, Mayhem Devil deals another point of damage.
So yeah, it's really up.
Yeah, it's a fun card for a bit more frequent level, mm-hmm. I guess. Do we talk about the Hydra because it's silly?
The Hydra is actually, it's good, but...
I meant silly because of the creature. Steelbane Hydra. X and a green. It's a creature turtle Hydra, 0/0, and it can enter the battlefield with +1/+1 counters on it. So far, so good, right? Mm-hmm. It's a Hydra. 2 and a green, remove +1/+1 counter from Steelbane Hydra, destroy target artifact or enchantment. Boom.
Boom indeed. So this was made, and they actually said it, that it was made in inspiration of a Wicker Bro Elder.
Oh yeah, I love that card.
And Wicker Bro Elder, I remember playing Commander way back when Wicker Bro Elder was like a staple.
You can still play it. That's the thing. It's still good.
I know. I mean, not really that much in
Opal.
Wicker Bro Elder is still, it's a really good card. But Steelbane Hydra is, you know, recursible.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you just play a bunch of mana, then you can spend a bunch of mana to do things with a bunch of mana.
And there is things in this game that put more things that put plus on counters, which is then that put minus on counters.
Yeah.
The card that comes after that one is really interesting. The Mammoth. Did you get to play with that one?
I did, but holy then I balls. But then I saw something else, and then you know
what?
I saw what happens when you have Thorn Mammoth in play, and then you attack with Krenko. Oh man! Oh man!
Slap indestructible on this bad boy and you can go down, basically.
So, it's a 5 double green, 6/6 creature elephant with trample. Whenever Thorn Mammoth or another creature enters the battlefield under your control, Thorn Mammoth fights up to one target creature you don't control.
By the way, I read this as he just fights one guy when he comes into play. I was like, okay, 7 mana 6/6 for a trample guy that does that one time. It's pro precons, it's fine. Because I had the arena on much smaller screen. By the way, I managed to put it on full screen. Gods are merciful. But I played it because I didn't see the text that good. I played it. Fine, I killed their best guy. It's good. I played another guy. Why am I getting a... Oh my god. Oh, oh no. And then, two turns later, my opponent had no board. They were playing knights. They had no knights.
It looks like it was nighty-night for them.
Oh god, but this guy is just the fun. It's like the Apex Predator from the Commander 19.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap, you can do so much stupid things with this guy.
Yeah, this one's like super cool. I think this is like a legitimate card that... I know it's not a dinosaur, but I think that Tess can put it in her dinosaurs. Because he's that good. Because
you don't get a lot of dudes in. And she can make her indestructible.
Yes.
Why isn't the adaptive... whatever it is that shifts mm-hmm. creature types in green. Why isn't it?
Well, it is in black, which still isn't good enough.
Yep. Only two colors that the dinosaurs... But I love Thor. What does the next card do?
Well, the next one here isn't really...
No, I meant next that we're going to talk about.
Well, let's talk about Tome of Legends. So, 2 mana, artifact. It enters the battlefield with a page counter on it. Whenever your commander enters the battlefield or attacks, put a page counter on Tome of Legends. 1, tap, remove a page counter from Tome of Legends, draw a card.
Nice! You play it in food chain. It doesn't matter if you're food chaining already, you're winning.
It's a cool way to to reward attacking with your commander.
It's a cool way for things like Mono White to have an actual card.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. You could also play it in something like Blood Pod if you're playing a bit more casually.
Anything else?
$20 card that's Arcane Signet. Yeah. Holy crap. Also, Command Tower has new art now.
Oh, and it's beautiful.
I still prefer the old one.
Okay.
I mean, it's a matter of taste right mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, but this one it's really nice.
This one is more dramatic. Mm-hmm. It's more, you know, the battle is going on. The previous one was just like, I'm standing on top of my tower and actually just watching the whole. And the flavor text is much better on the old. You know, when all hope is lost, all eyes go to one direction. But that has been the whole Tornado Drain for now.
Yeah, and now we can talk a bit about the pre-con. Because we actually had experience with them.
Of course, it was on Magic Arena and it was a multiplayer, so I think we can say tempo is important on there. Mm. If you stumble a bit, you're dying.
Pretty much. Because the comeback mechanisms aren't there, really?
The best, I think, comeback mechanism is the Thorn Mammoth.
Yeah, he is.
I was losing the game before he came into play. And then suddenly...
And the Fairy one has some mass removal.
And Kulin also has, like, one or two?
He has one. And Kulin actually has a soft lock.
What?
Well, you have your... Mystic Snake thing,
mm-hmm.
and you can just bounce it and play it again.
Oh yeah, Frilled Mystic.
So yeah, with Frilled Mystic and Kulin out, you kind of like have 7 mana counter target spell and draw a card.
Ooh, would you pay 7 mana to counter spell and draw a card?
Yes, all the time.
Fine. You don't realize that this mist is card exists.
Excuse me?
Dismiss.
I mean, yeah, but you don't draw a card and play an additional land with.
Oh, well. All in all, the decks are... They did a better job with this than Commander 19.
Oh, yeah. That was the thing I wanted to, like, build up to, but sure. Yeah, it's pretty obvious that Commander 19 died for
this. Yep.
Because these decks are actually really, like, these are solid decks.
The mana bases are still super stupid.
I mean, yeah, but that's primarily because there aren't that many options in Standard.
I know, but the Corvall deck has two basic mana. Two. I lost a couple of games just because I couldn't have any red.
But let's just go over this. So Wild Bounty has Temple of Mystery and Hallowed Fountain in their
mm-hmm.
land base.
Mm-hmm.
Knight's Charge has Godless Shrine and Temple of Triumph.
Yeah.
The Savage Hunter, the with
Corvald.
With Corvald, has Temple of Melody and Stomping Ground in it. And, you know, the fairies have Temple of Silence and Watery Grave.
Remember when people who were defending Commander 19 said, you know, you can't expect them to put shocks in frequency and all of that. Yes, you apparently can.
And also temples. Temples aren't pricey. But guess what? Temples are really good lands.
Yeah, especially for precon level.
Like, temples are actually playable outside of Commander.
Yeah.
Like, really playable. Modern playable, standard playable, all the time playable.
Role playable?
Yeah, that too. So yeah, you can put in really good cards in the decks. Like,
and apparently you do put really good cards in decks. Just not, you know... Commander 19, which you kind of expect it to fail.
I mean, the fairies have Smothering Tithe in them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a cheap card anymore, right?
Yes, and now we come back to the whole, you can't expect them to put expensive cards in the decks. They can.
It's just a question of, do they want to?
Yes.
And apparently they do want to. These decks are, like, these decks seem... to be, like, valuable decks, because you get mm-hmm. cards for Standard, you get cards for Modern, you get cards for Commander, so they're complete value.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Nick, don't forget,
let's take Savage Hunter as an example. Mayhem Devil, you get Priest of the Forgotten Gods, you get Krenko, you get Judith, you get Plaguecrafter. These are all actually... You get Evolution Sage and Paradise Druid, and what's the name of that... In the precon decks, I think the Bent one has it. The one that with... it's not Evolve. Incubation Druid, yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm.
That one is stupidly good.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many good cards in these decks.
Yep.
I want the people who worked on this product to make me a Commander 20 product.
Yeah, definitely.
Like we said, most likely Commander 19 will sacrifice for this. But I don't see why does it have to. Because I'm pretty sure the people who bought Commander 19... would see these decks and be like, ooh, I can use these cards for my Commander decks as well. And I can play Brawl. Vendoragram is actually really... it's a really big chunk of the pie.
I mean, sure, I understand the whole tactic of not of splitting your player base. So that there are people playing Commander, there are people playing Brawl, but there's so much players, you don't have to worry about that. I mean, if Brawl is going to be super popular, if anywhere, on Arena, because you don't have Commander on Arena, mm-hmm. now you... it's one-on-one, so it's kind of eh, but I'm sure they're working on a multiplayer variant. I'm sure, because, you know, multiplayer, they did multiplayer Magic once, and people were okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they can make it again. And, you know, all of these decks in multiplayer, I can see them being even more fun to play. Like, actually super good to play in multiplayer. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure you can make a functioning C19 and Commander product and a functioning Brawl product at the same time. And you will actually not lose player base, you will actually expand upon it.
And who knows, maybe Commander players will come play Standard. I mean, this is definitely a way to make Commander players go play Standard. I mean, Brawl. You know, if they allowed, like, okay, you can play standard, but you can play your brawl deck by using, you know, you still having a commander while your opponent does his standard deck. I actually don't know how that would work.
I don't think it.
The standard player is always favored.
Yeah, definitely.
Unless your commander is Teferi. then like, hey, look, I have a Teferi. But then again, when does your opponent not have Teferi?
Yeah, from what I figure from standard, they have it all.
Yes, it's like Teferi is like a permanent. It's like a permanent of. I'm not saying it's a constant.
It's an emblem.
Yes.
From the turn 3 onward, you start with Teferi emblem. Do you want to talk about the trailer itself for Thrunvale Drain?
Sorry, can you repeat?
Do you want to talk about the trailer about from Thrunvale Drain?
Oh, the trailer. Oh man, Shrek 5 is going to look amazing.
What is happening with Wizards and their trailers?
So apparently they're making good money off of it, which is good because we're gonna keep on getting trailers like.
This trailer was stupidly good. The War of the Spark trailer was also good if you ignore the, you know, the stupid things actually happening in the War of the Spark. Let's ignore that. But this trailer is just goofy and emotional and everything.
Yes, it's like.
And now I want the gingerbread woman to become a planeswalker that's actually hunting Garruk. And I want them to do the way that Terry Pratchett does it in this world. It's all jokey, but it's actually serious at the time. Because serious things are happening to our characters. We just see it jokingly, but they still take it seriously.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that Garruk getting stabbed in the eye isn't really the worst that has happened to him.
But imagine if next time we see Garruk, he just has one eye.
I mean, we can't really see him clearly in this picture of his planeswalker. Oh, but in his full art version, you can actually see that he has two eyes.
Yeah, but, I mean, next time, at least, mm-hmm. He just has one eye, imagine that.
Yeah.
I'll be like, yay. I love Garruk, like I say, I'm a sucker for him.
I'm scared for Garruk, I really am.
Why?
Because he's in the story.
Oh, he was perfectly safe last couple of years.
He was probably more safe not being in the story than being.
Yep.
But hey, maybe he dies so we don't have to worry about him.
And what we've seen, dying is not that big of a sometimes.
Yeah. As we're going to see in the next set, which is, spoiler alert, it's Theros.
Hey!
And how do we know that? Because they said it.
That is usually a good way to find things out.
Yeah, so the next, there's really nothing else we can say about the trailer, but it was like a roller coaster of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything was really nice. The song was nice, the setting was nice, seeing Garruk was nice. The animation was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're paying good money for that.
Yeah. That stuff's good.
That stuff is not.
But finally, they actually stepped up their trailer game.
Yep. I'm convinced. Next up, we're going to have Theros, Beyond Death. After it, we're getting Ikoria, Lair of the Behemoth.
Is that Kiora's home plane?
Well, her home plane is Theros. Right?
Is it?
I think it's Theros.
No. I think she just came there and stole the trident from Tassa.
Yeah. The local merfolk thought she was a god.
Mm-hmm.
Zendikar is her plane, right?
Oh, yeah. It is. Sorry. But I'm betting we'll see Kiora there.
Oh, definitely. It has Behemoth. Then we have Core 2021. And then Zendikar Rising.
Did we need another Zendikar set so soon?
Well, we do have a Tango Land cycle to finish.
I'm okay with that, but do we actually need
another? What I'm thinking is they're gonna go on Theros. Okay, Ayani's gonna die there because Elspeth needs to be alive again.
Because Ajani is an edgy atheist preaching against gods on the god plane?
No, because it's tragic.
Yeah, but his current role on Theros is he's an edgy atheist preaching about against gods. Literally, when the whole Elspeth getting murdered and by the hand of the god happened, he literally went to the city and started preaching against gods.
Well, sure.
Yeah, it's understandable, but he's an edgy atheist. So
then we're gonna go to Ikoria and
the plane, Behemoth.
The planeswalker.
Kiora.
Kiora. God. So she's gonna take a behemoth from there and bring it back to Zendikar to replace Lortos. And that behemoth is going to flood the entire plane. Like, the only land being, like, mountain peaks or something like that. Then we'll have an underwater set.
You know what, Niksha?
That so, sounds so, the Rising?
That sounds so stupid. Most likely they're gonna go with it.
So the Rising part is actually the Rising Tide.
Sure. Fuck it. Wait.
But yeah, we really didn't have... Oh, maybe this time they're going to... When we get to Zendikar Rising, going to abolish the reserved list. Masterpiece.
Okay, I'm okay with that. They're not gonna do that, but...
They could.
Oh, they definitely could. They will just not. I'm pretty sure they could actually abolish the reserved list and nothing would happen.
I mean, people would be happy, but nothing else would happen.
There is a fear that some people would, you know, class action lawsuit them. From what I've seen from people who actually experienced in American law, it wouldn't actually hold up in court.
Well, they don't have any grounds for a class action lawsuit. Even if they took the thing where they said, hey, we're not going to reprint these cards, that's more than 5 years old. A lot more than 5 years old. And, you know, time denies things like that. You know, those things, even though nowhere on the document it's stated that it's time restricted, you know, you have to make that promise again to actually be viable.
Yep.
At some point. So it's super old, so it doesn't hold any.
And it's killing at least two formats. Because I know a bunch of people who would like to play things like Legacy, but they cannot. Because guess what you need?
I mean, sure, duels, but it's more of a problem that there isn't a way to get duels except through the secondary market.
Mm-hmm.
That's more of an in, like, oh, I have to pay for it. The secondary market.
Yep. Oh, well, I think, is that it for this week?
Yeah. We had some
have to get going.
More topics to plan, but we actually have to get going.
Yep.
So, yeah, Brawl decks, if their price doesn't get inflated, these are like a really good pickup.
If they don't actually get stupidly expensive, I might actually think about getting one. And if I actually get to get any of them, because I'm not sure how much are they in demand and how much people do want them.
I think that these are going to be... I mean, on them, on our market, they're already... pre-order is at 100 euros, which I think is completely ridiculous.
For each, or...?
Oh, they're actually dropping already. So, when I first looked, there were like three of them at 100 euros.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
But now they drop to 70. They start at 70.
For each deck, or...?
No, for the pack.
Okay, because I'm like, is it for each? Because if it is, I'll just go to the shop, laugh at the salesman, and go walk away.
Yeah, they're not that same. So the price is going to go even more down because they are hype, but they're also, you know, standard decks.
Mm-hmm. And is the print run going to be on demand or?
I don't know. I don't think so. They mentioned anything like that, but, you know, they want to push Brawl, so I don't think they want to limit the Brawl decks. It's like, are the starter precons printed? They probably are, but they're not sold that much.
Yeah, but this is a bit more hype than actual starter precons, so I don't know.
We'll see. Let's hope.
We will see. Well, this has been episode 101 of the Elder Dragon Turtle podcast.
Yay.
This was your host, Igor, and as always, with me was my co-host, Niksha. Say bye, Niksha.
Bye. Yes.
And as always, the Emperor protects.
Yes. And Sir Gwyn has a flaming sword.
My brothers has been swallowed by the ground. Unbelievable, insatiable thirst, the lines break. Tide swirls and rushes forth, my arms shake. I am swallowed by the storm surge. But I will turn from this, we will emerge from this. Ignore the gripping dread that slithers up our spines from this. Yet I'm the final dirge. Hear me! I command a standard, so a standard face a chaos scourge. I count the days as to come, turn to a month now. Still with perseverance we raise the body count. She says the pangs of pain, know that I know your face. You know mine when every death is repaid. Burning bastions sanctioned by your chaplains. Line up every sight while I align the battlements. 10,000 lights burn out in a blink. With a stalwart step prepared to hold before this brink of the precipice. One light to wind with disaster. Declare the funeral song. One reason that you hold on. Show me the war, master! And those I thought were my brothers have turned their backs on the fold. The headman's eye time now hold. We hid our ourselves in the dark. Foundation shall step out of the sunlight to re-emerge. Luna wolves, now we wait on our haunches. Coiled, soon I will find my vengeance gets a despoiled. I can't forget the sight of them becoming poison. Suffering immaterial death, fate unavoidable. Knife meets back, those brothers meets bloodshed. Return to give the devil tapping to the serpent's head. Backstabber turncoat, chain of command failures. Minotaur lower swords as it attacks through your defenses. The tide turns again and not in our favor. My forces face the death, but not once do they waver. And as the palace is breached, I'll take what I can reach. Aim for Avedon's throat. Your life is beyond reproach. By the despicable's hands, our hope is scattered like sand. And every outcome I wanted sits above the unhaunted. Should have kept deeper still, buried my grave to fill. Soon I will have all your heads. You should have checked I was dead. And I can still see their faces, their trusting look led astray. Only blood can amend this.